Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, Clemson.
With the fifth pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback, Alabama.
The Miami Dolphins select Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, Alabama.
Now we're on 2-on-3 YPC. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Sam Clancy is here as always. And this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use promo code 5FIVE. You can deposit $100 and it's a $100 rollover. I guess we'll just get into it right away. Simon, the first prospect.
Yeah, we're looking at tackles. Certainly in the first part of the show. Daywon Jones, big human being. Couple of big human beings today, actually. Daywon Jones, Ohio State, right tackle. If you're a Miami Dolphins fan, obviously, we're looking at right tackles. This is a 6'8", 374-pound behemoth with a seven-foot wingspan. An absolutely massive human being who showed up, had essentially 1.5 really good days at the Senior Bowl in practice.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
You called him a behemoth, right?
Yep.
Why does Tyson Fury says behemoth?
Tyson's from a traveler family, so it's probably okay. Just a traveler language.
All right.
It's just incorrectly pronounced. It's behemoth, but I mean, if he wants to say it, how he wants to say it, he's the heavyweight champion of the world. who am I to disagree?
Yeah, because he's been running around using that word over and over and over again. I keep hearing it. I'm like, maybe I'm the one who's pronouncing it wrong. But
behemoth. But, I mean, that's certainly how I've always been brought up to pronounce it, and how everybody I know that who not like I have a load of mates that wander around and say behemoth all the time, but those that do, that's how they pronounce it. And I think Tyson is probably in the wrong, but he's the world heavyweight champion, and if he wants to pronounce it like that, then fuck it, pronounce it like that.
Yeah, but yeah, Daywon Jones absolutely qualifies. Go on.
Yeah, so three-star kid at high school, was a football, basketball kid, and actually he was more of a basketball kid, really. He had a lot of D1 basketball offers, Bowling Green, Ball State, Kent State, and actually didn't start playing football till his sophomore year in high school. Basketball, always the greater passion, but I think a kind of a light switch came on. He started to play tackle, and felt like probably, you know, future on the gridiron was the best path, and really started to pick up offers quickly. USC, Penn State, Michigan, Auburn, Florida, Oregon, Alabama, you know, everybody was offering him. Went to Ohio State, was a two-year starter at Ohio State. Can't say that after watching Aaron Rodgers for an hour. But yeah, you know, look, the good is the obvious, you know, he's a massive human being, you know, and certainly, you know, you look at things like his reach, his lateral movement, make him a real impediment for edge rushers. You can't hand fight him. Such a powerful man, you know, he's an outstanding down blocker, and he just engulfs his defender when he gets into them. He is an avalanche in the run game when he is moving laterally and he can and block down, and you know, you get in his way, you are going to get wiped out. You are not going to be able to stop that from happening. It doesn't matter whoever you are. because he's just too big. He is a massive human. He's strong. Now, we'll get into the downsides in a minute, but in terms of, you know, pass protection, which has been a bit more of an issue, I think, than his run play, and we'll get to the specific reasons why in a sec. But, you know, 152 true pass sets last season. PFF charged him with just two pressures, which is really good. Now, I saw more than that on tape, but that's fine. And also then at the Senior Bowl, he was outstanding in pass pro. So, you know, he has had some concentration issues, and I wonder whether or not actually the light needs to be switched on full time. But in terms of some of the things that you're looking for in the run game, you know, great snatch trap, all of those sorts of things, he's unstoppable in the run game. I think to me, the downsides are pertinent. Speed gives him issues because he's got average foot quickness, I think. But actually, the biggest struggles that he has, you know, you look at, go back to 2 years ago, or, you know, 2021. Yeah. So against Aiden Hutchinson, but also definitely against David Ojabo, gave him trouble. And facing speed, he gets off balance too much. He'll get out over his skis a little bit. You know, he'll allow defenders to get around him because that foot speed just isn't good enough. But if you watch his pass sets specifically, you know, if players try and rush him with speed, he can obviously use those long arms and he widens them out and can ride them by the quarterback. But when he has to redirect, that's when he has a real problem. So, you know, when you get up the field as a pass rusher, you're under the arc, and then you redirect back inside, that is his kryptonite, essentially. And I think that's a weight issue, actually, because he's so top heavy. And I think we obviously saw the same things with Daniel Falele coming out of Minnesota last year. Just that he just cannot move that body and the feet in a coordinated way quickly enough when rushers come back inside. So certainly when you're running the arc around him, because of the arm length, that makes up for some footwork issues. But I think, you know, it's trying to watch a baby deer on roller skates on ice going down a hill. Sometimes when, you know, a rusher is educated enough and will cut back inside or will spin back inside, that's when he has some problems. So I think they're the downsides for him. But he's a very interesting player. I wonder, certainly, you know, is he an outside zone guy? He can certainly get outside in the run game. He's really just more of a power guy, especially when you're running to the outside, but he's blocking downwards down the line rather than up the field. You know, there is a distinct difference, but, you know, he could be anything in the run game. The concern is obviously whether or not against twitched up guys who aren't just bendy edge rushers, you know, what's going to be the issue for him in terms of, is he going to give up sacks? Is he going to give up, you know, quarterback hits, pressures, those sorts of things. Penalties have also been an issue over his 2 years as a starter. But, you know, I look at him as a bit of a Trent Brown. You know, if you're looking for a comparison, Trent Brown, currently playing left tackle for the Patriots, was a big free agent signing for the Raiders under the Mike Mayock era, and has played well generally on both the left and the right side in New England, especially. He would be a Trent Brown kind of guy. Is he a guy the Dolphins would be? I think, look, Darnell Wright is not going to make it to 51. I think Darnell Wright would be an absolute, you know, he'd be the guy that Miami would take. I'm not so sure about Jones. And I wonder whether or not, you know, there might be some day three tackles. You look at Wanda Morris of Oklahoma, Jalen Duncan of Maryland, maybe they might be guys. I just am not sure that day one is going to be quite the source that, Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer are looking for. But he's a very interesting player, and certainly in the right scheme, he could be an absolute monster.
Yeah, now, when you say that he has issues with, and yeah, that's all over all his scouting reports, his issues with penalties. On film, when you look at these penalties, how are they occurring? Is it from catching twitchy, bendy edge rushers, grabby, or is it out in space?
It's grabby when players are cutting back inside. It's tripping. It's your legs left out. It's holding. It's those sorts of things. It's just technique stuff. I don't think it's a massive problem per se. I don't think he's a massive, you know, I thought Sauce Gardner had an issue coming out of Cincinnati as a corner. I thought he held way too much down the field. And I know it was certainly
he holds way too much right now.
Yeah, but he gets away with it, you know.
Yes,
and I think
yes,
that's part of the,
absolutely.
You know, he's a physical player.
Yeah.
And I thought it would catch him up a little bit, and I wondered whether or not that might be his kryptonite, and it turned out it wasn't. So I just think for Jones, it's got to be technique. He can be a bit sloppy at times in terms of his technique, in terms of his concentration that we talked about earlier on. He's admitted it himself that concentration, he certainly talked about an issue that he had in that Michigan game and that he felt like he lost concentration against Hutchinson and Ojabo at times, which kind of, you know, meant that he gave up sacks, which he did. But he's able to look at himself and assess his game. And I think he just needs to learn how to concentrate for 60 minutes when he's on the field. Because I do think that stuff is coachable. In terms of the penalties, I'm not sure that his inability to change direction at the size that he is, you know, these are essentially two Planet Theory guys. He's a Planet Theory tackle. And by that, I mean that there are only so many people in the world who are that size, who have those sorts of movement skills. You know, people talk about he ran a 5:35, 40, which comparatively speaking is slow. He is 6'8" and 375 pounds. You know,
yes,
you and I probably couldn't run a 5:35, 40. Do you know what I mean? That pretty much. And you know, I'm 14 stone and 6 foot. I don't know what you are. Mm-hmm. You're probably about the same. So you know, that kind of tells you just how athletic these guys are. And you know, this is a big person coming downhill at you in the run game. You're going to want to get out of the way.
Absolutely. All right. Final question. 51. Dolphins still have 51. They traded 77 for Jalen Ramsey. I would have thought that the red flags that follow some guys that are built like DeJuan Jones might have maybe even pushed him to 77, although I think it's cutting it close. I'm almost certain it pushes him to 51. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be on the board at 51. I think he'll probably may well be on the board when Miami pick in the third round. Hmm. And there will come a point where his talent versus, you know, he'll always be too good to pass up, you know, even though he's not a specific scheme fit. You know, there's a kid working out today at the UCLA press pro day. Antonio Maffey, the left guard, another sort of not ideal scheme fit, who I would compare to Aaron Banks, the Notre Dame left guard who now plays for the 49ers, who obviously Mike McDaniel would know very well. There will also come a point for him on day three, I think, where teams will look at him and think, look, the value is just too good to pass up. And so, you know, I think you might enter into a value conversation for Jones. Some teams will be put off by the size. Some teams will be put off by when you look at the tape and the redirection. And because, you know, if guys like me in England are able to see that he has problems with redirection, you know, every single, you know, pass rusher in the NFL is going to be looking at tape and thinking, oh, well, you know, and they're clipping up all the clips of him and his pass pro sets and those sorts of things. They'll be thinking, right, inside movement's going to kill this guy. You know, stunts, twists, that's going to kill this guy. So it will be interesting to see, but he'll absolutely be on the board at 50. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't on the board at 51.
Yeah, that's going to be key, because every defensive coordinator since the beginning of time, every time they see something like that, in fact, they still do it to Trent Brown today. They send those 2x1 blitzes right at him. And if he guesses wrong or if he gets too grabby, it's an offensive holding penalty all day. So, yeah, he's going to have to work on that technique. And, you know, just be sound. Just be sound. Always take the inside guy, DeJuan. Always take the inside guy. All right. And you're not going to get any offensive holding penalties. Put the rest on your tight end or your quarterback. All right. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll have another prospect. But first, these words.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And we're back. You got a second guy for us, Simon?
I do actually, and it's a kind of an interesting guy, a guy I quite like watching, a sort of an old school guy in many respects, and that's Sayaki Ika, who's the defensive tackle for nose tackle really at Baylor. He's known as Apu Ika, 6'3", another massive human being, 335 pounds, high school kid out of East High in Salt Lake City, Utah, 4-star recruit. Was heavily recruited by everybody in the SEC, but also, you know, Ohio State, USC, UCLA, all the big teams, Georgia, Bama, Florida State. And he eventually ended up at LSU. Well, actually, he committed initially to play football at college football at BYU, and then decommitted, reopened his commitment, and switched to LSU, where he played for 2 years. He won a national title there, and the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase team spent 2 years at LSU, then entered the transfer portal in 2020. And Ed Orgeron essentially just said, look, you know, we brought him in as a 3-4 defender, but we switched up the scheme a little bit with Dave Aranda. And he got a little bit overweight because he wasn't really playing as much in the 43 front as he was in the odd front, the 34. He struggled a bit. He got overweight a little bit. And they just said, look, it'd probably be best for both, you know, because you've got NFL talent, if you just go and find a 3-4 scheme. And he followed Aranda to Baylor. And so took the advice of Orgeron and took the advice of Aranda, obviously, because he played so well under him as a freshman, and went out to Texas, to Baylor. And look, he's predominantly an A-gap defender, another human, you know, an absolute human cannonball. He's a gap control DT who can sit and soak and anchor like a big old oak tree. You know, he's got a lot of, you know, I've got an interesting comparison for him that, you know, is Starlo Tulele, who you might remember, the Carolina defensive tackle.
And Buffalo Bill?
Yeah, the Buffalo Bill. I don't think he had an amazing 2022 season. You know, he obviously was a starter, but he was rotated in and out a fair bit. And, you know, he's fairly infrequent on obvious passing downs, you know. Although he does, you know, he's really athletic. He's pretty rare in terms of that sort of size, agility that he has. You know, but what you want to see him is you want to see him get locked in head up against, you know, bare fronts, tight fronts, you know, at the next level, because that big old barrel of flesh that he's got, you know, and that quickness, you know, he is going to weigh on centers, you know, that's going to be a long afternoon on downs one and two for centers around the NFL. Yeah. You know, what I love that he does is he's got really good hips. He's got great hip explosion. And that really reminds me of Vita Vea at times, the way that he explodes out through the hips and upwards. And, you know, we just talked about Daywon Jones, and one of the things that you look at Daywon Jones and you think, you know, because he's so big, because he's so tall, defenders actually get leverage into him because he's just so high. For Ika, he does an amazing job because he's only 6'3", and that plays into his, you know, plays into his hands at times. But in a second, we'll talk about why it plays against him. But, you know, he can certainly come up low. He can win the leverage battle. He's quick off the ball. He's got great hands as that sort of pure 34 nose tackle that you're looking for. Now, the downside, obviously, is that, you know, he isn't a pass rusher, really. You know, you're not going to want him on the field on third down. So really, you're looking at a guy who can only contribute on two downs, not going to contribute on special teams. Technique can sometimes go a little bit awry, especially against double teams. You know, you tend to see him struggle a little bit to get off a block on a double team. And when he gets held up like that, especially against doubles, he just has this tendency to drop his head a little bit too much. And he can lose sight of the play, whether that's the quarterback moving, whether that's a running back hitting the hole, those sorts of things. That can, you know, that's a worry. I think it's coachable, obviously, but you do worry as to why it hasn't been coached out of him. Gets a little bit top heavy again, a bit like Jones, a little bit like out over his skis sometimes. He struggled at times. I think I've seen him play a number of times against ZBS schemes, and he struggled a little bit, you know, and I wonder why that is, you know. And length generally, I think, is part of the reason, you know, because he does have the explosion to be able to maneuver. But that length in terms of, you know, linemen can just get into his frame a little bit and just hold him up. And, you know, because he does have that low center of gravity, the hand power, all of those sorts of things. And just sometimes he just gets a little bit held up. And the other thing for me that's a bit concerning, and look, you know, I have not watched every single game he's played at LSU and at Baylor, but he has been a significant contributor for 4 years. He was a significant contributor in a rotation, certainly in the national championship year of 2019. Okay, his tackle numbers are extremely low over 4 years. 2019 as a freshman, 6 tackles. 2020, 3 tackles. Okay, in 2021 as a full-time starter, he had 17 tackles all season. And in 2022, last year, he had 10 tackles all season. So he has 36 tackles in 4 years. Now, look, he's not a linebacker racking up, you know, 150 tackles a game. But even so, that is an interesting, you know, and you take all these things in context, but that is an interesting number for me. But look, I think he's this supersized kind of quick initial off the snap penetration, one technique or zero technique at the next level. And, you know, maybe not a guy who two gaps, but he's going to be a guy certainly who can soak up some of that interior pressure and let linebackers in behind do some work and safeties in behind do some work. So he's a very interesting guy. I like him. I do like his tape, but I do think there are things that, you know, there are things that he needs to work on. But certainly as a rotational piece in a defensive line and a functional 34 and a functional on front defensive line, I think he's an interesting guy.
Yeah. Now let's explain to our listeners. A zero tech is directly head up on the center. 1A or 1B or outside shade one tech or inside shade one tech is cocked into in the center. You're right in the gap, in the A gap between the center and the guard, but you're playing onto the center, which means you're cocked toward the center, either on his outside shoulder or his inside shoulder. Of course, outside and inside depends on which hash you're on. Now, the very best ones, Vita Vea, okay. Even, you know what, I'm going to give a little love to Raekwon Davis because he's been really, really good at it since he came over from Alabama. The very best ones can get from zero technique right onto the B gap, onto a guard and occupy him. And that's half the battle. Although you are releasing the center. If you do that, especially against outside zone, you're blowing up plays over and over and over again. Does he have the foot quickness to move over a gap at the snap, or is he just a mauler of the center?
No. He definitely has the foot quickness. He's really agile and really quick off the snap. Look, he doesn't have long speed. You know, he was in the 5.3s as well when he ran, but he has quickness certainly off the ball. That's impressive. You know, so I think, you know, look, a zero technique, a guy that lines up face to face with his center, or a one tech that lines up on the center's outside shoulder. I think he's probably more suited to being a zero technique, to a one technique because of that explosion. But I think at 338 pounds, if he can't soak up, you know, and be a nose tackle and just give a center a really hard day for 4 quarters, then there's something wrong. Does that make sense? Do you see what I mean? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, so that's where I kind of see him as, you know. No, he's not going to be a two or a three tech, obviously, and none of those numbers work, but a zero or a one technique. And I think some people are like, is he a zero? Is he a one? I know some guys think he's a one. I think probably just because of that explosion, he could probably be a one technique. So somebody that just lines up on the center's outside shoulder. But I think if you're going to move him up over the center, then, you know, you can absolutely get some worth out of him there.
Yeah. Now there's some listeners right now listening to us and saying, but you know, we're kind of set there. You know, we got Raekwon Davis. We got, you know, we got all these defensive tackles. We got, you know, John Jenkins. Well, John Jenkins is getting long in the tooth. If you know anything about this Vic Fangio defense, you're going to need two. Okay. You're going to need two guys.
You need more than that. I mean, Fangio was a part of that Jonathan Gannon defense in Philadelphia, where they played 11 guys, a minimum of 13 snaps each per game. So that tells you exactly what, you know, and the Eagles, who already had, you know, a very good interior defensive line with guys like Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave, then went and drafted Jordan Davis in the first round last year. I would not be surprised at all if the Miami Dolphins' first pick at 51 was a defensive tackle. I'm not saying it's going to be Eakin necessarily, but I do think that they absolutely need a defensive tackle. John Jenkins is a free agent. The way that the scheme works, we'll see Sela and Christian Wilkins play much further out than, you know, they're not going to play specific defensive tackle slots. They're going to play, you know, they'll play 4 and 5 techniques at times, you know, out, you know, 4 technique where you line up on the tackles inside shoulder, 5 technique when you line up on the tackles outside shoulder. So I think you'll see that sometimes as well. Raekwon Davis is coming into his fourth season.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a contract year for Raekwon Davis. So, you know, I think the great thing that the Philadelphia Eagles and Howie Roseman has done is that they have preempted all of their free agent movement. And whether or not they do that on purpose, I suspect they do. But they look at a guy like Javon Hargrave, who they signed to a contract, was going to be a free agent. So they knew that they needed defensive tackle help. And they also knew Fletcher Cox was going to be 32, 33. So that's why they drafted Jordan Davis. It's like, you know, you look at the corners that they're losing, you look at the safeties that they're losing, all of those players that they end up losing. You know, they thought Jason Kelsey was going to retire at the end of the season, that Landon Dickerson was going to slide in and be center, you know, and then, you know, if Landon Dickerson, who's been brilliant at left guard, well, maybe that they decide that Cam Jurgens, the guy they got from Nebraska, was going to be the center replacement. So they're always looking ahead. And I think that's what the Dolphins have got to do. And it's very hard to do it when you only have minimal draft picks. But I would not be shocked if defensive tackle was the position the Dolphins took first.
Yeah. Now, some people are also listening and saying, man, you're going to take a zero or one tech to play 14, 15 snaps a game early in the draft. These guys tend to drop, and they drop every year. So you think this is the guy that might find himself in early day three, maybe even late?
No, I don't think he falls into day three. Really? I'd be surprised if he does. I'd really be surprised if he does. You know, he just has, you know, that quick snap quickness. I'll be very surprised if you know, you look at a guy like, you know, Jalen Carter is obviously going to come off the board first, although apparently a really, really bad pro day today, coupled with the off-field issues. You've got Brian Brisee, who looks like a Pittsburgh Steeler already. I think, Apu, as we know, like, nimble nose tackler, I think is the word that I've heard from him. You know, his lateral agility at his size is just too good, I think. Because I think if you're a center, you're just thinking that he's going to play through you. And actually, he doesn't, because he can move so well. Like, scouts talk about, can you play the piano? And the piano essentially means, can you move your feet up and down as if you were dancing up and down on a piano keyboard? Mm. You know, and Apu can absolutely play that. I mean, he has, and I say that, you know, third downs, you're probably not going to want him anyway, because most teams take out big defensive tackles anyway on third down. But 51 pressures in 2 years at Baylor, okay? That's on just essentially just on downs one and two. That tells you all that you need to know about his impact. I can't see any way that a guy that's 6'3", 340 pounds, and is as nimble as he is, and had 51 pressures in two seasons at Baylor, could ever fall into day three.
Yeah. Now, he was also, by the way, two facts about him. He's a major in leisure studies, which is, I want to know what the hell that is, because it sounds fun. Sounds delightful, really. Right.
I think it's like, do you have leisure centers and, you know, those sorts of things? You probably wouldn't call them leisure, like gyms and things. It's like, isn't it that sort of thing?
I have no idea. I'm completely clueless. We have country clubs. We do have that, you know, but one last thing. It's not really a red flag, but you want an answer to this. He's a national champion. He was on the greatest college football team I've ever seen, that 2020 LSU team, transferred to Baylor. Why?
Oh, I mean, as I said, Ed Orgeron loves him. So he's a fantastic kid. And literally, it was just a scheme change. So Dave Aranda, who was the coach there, played essentially really a sort of a 34 front. And they wanted to shift to a 43, and he struggled. And they came to a decision that actually it would be better for you to go and play in a 34 front, and he was unhappy, and that's why he followed Aranda to Baylor. So yeah, there were no off the field issues. There were no, there was no kind of no red flags in terms of like some seedy shit had been going on. So yeah, he's actually doing health kinesiology and leisure studies.
nice. Yeah. Yeah, he's Samoan, which is a positive red flag. The great family people, great culture, great football culture, and the right position too. Okay.
So Baylor's course says that it is a major for students preparing for the general career areas of health, fitness, recreation, and sport. So it's well suited for students who are unsure of which area they're most interested in pursuing. So it's looking at intervention design in public and community health, stress management, leisure and lifestyle well-being, anatomical kinesiology, and research methods and design in exercise science. So there you go. You didn't know you were getting a degree I break down as well. So we bring it all to you on 2YPC.
Nice, nice. And it's Sika Aka, which is it's kind of interesting. His name is Apu, which means apple in Samoan. Yeah. I was reading into it. I thought maybe this means more, you know, but it's not. It just means apple. That's all it means. All right. That's going to do it this week. You're not going to tell us about the two prospects next week, right? It's going to be.
I'm not.
All right. That's going to do it. We will talk to you next week.
Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, Alabama.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.